Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Hack My Homestead podcast. This is Sean Mills, and today is April 19th, 2023. I wanted to go off topic a little bit, talk about something that's related to homesteading, but is not necessarily considered a homesteading topic. And basically, that topic is the power of persistence. I've got a daughter that's getting ready to graduate from high school. Last night was senior night for the soccer team, and so, you know, it was her last game, and it was, it was fun, but at the same time, a bit bittersweet, because you're thinking about, you know, have I done everything that I can to set my kid up to be successful? Have I instilled the right set of principles and morals, and tried to model the type of behavior that you know, I want my kid to have? And you know, you're worried about your kid when they go off into the world, and you're worried that, you know, you could have done things better. And but one of the things that I've always tried to instill in both of my kids is persistence, is the idea that, you know, you keep moving forward, you set a goal, you identify the steps you need to take in order to meet that goal, and then you start taking those steps and you start moving forward. So I want to start off with a quote by Calvin Coolidge. A lot of you guys may have heard this before, but here's the quote from one of our former presidents. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, press on, has solved and will always solve the problems of the human race. I actually had that quote framed and put in all of the offices of my employees when I was a branch manager years ago in Nashville, because I felt like when I first got into the industry that I was in, I didn't have those things. I didn't have the talent. I didn't have the education. I didn't have genius. But what I did have was a strong work ethic. And I was willing to work hard, and I was willing to show up every day, and I was willing to learn today and apply what I learned tomorrow in order to get better. Again, as I mentioned before, you have to set goals, and you have to establish what steps need to be taken. What are the, you know, intermediate, smaller goals towards reaching the big goal? You've got to prepare for obstacles. You got to prepare for setbacks. You got to prepare for failure. You have to be ready to accept the fact that you're not going to hit all of those timelines. You know, you're going to miss some things. You're going to have some things that you thought would work that won't. You're going to have, you know, on the business side, you're going to have deals that you thought were in the bag that get away from you. And you have to be willing to accept those things and to learn from them and to keep moving forward. You know, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. So you've got to take the first step, but you also have to continue to take steps. It's so important. You're always going to get to where you end up if you're always taking steps forward. It may take longer than you expected, and it doesn't really matter how large the individual steps are. What matters is that you keep taking them. Throughout the process, you've got to reevaluate, revise the plan. You've got to maintain your focus. You've got to enjoy the journey. You know, we talk about failure, and we talk about, you know, setting goals and absolutely missing them, or a step that's required taking 5 tries to accomplish. You can't get so focused on the end goal that, you know, those setbacks devastate you. You know, and this is, I think, one of the problems with society as a whole and the whole microwave culture of, I want it quickly, I don't want to actually have to work very hard to get it, is that when you have setbacks, they become devastating, and you just can't allow that to happen. you have to understand that the setbacks are part of the process, and you have to enjoy the process. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I've really focused a lot on with, you know, I've got teenage girls in 2023, and there's all kinds of problems that go along with that. I can tell you that our rule with our girls was that they didn't get phones until they were 16, unless they finished their freshman year, because we homeschooled until high school. And so in their freshman year, if they got all A's, I would allow them to get a phone at the end of their freshman year. But under no circumstances, all A's or not, would they be allowed to have social media until they were 16. And so my younger daughter doesn't turn 16 for another week or so, and so she still isn't allowed to have social media. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that she doesn't have some sort of social media interaction, whether that's, you know, logging on to TikTok anonymously, or you know, there's a possibility that she's got things that I don't know about. And that's part of growing up and rebelling and trying to go your own and be independent. I understand that, but I'm not going to sanction it either. And I can tell you that if there is social media activity, it's way less than the addicted 14-year-olds I see all the time on my younger daughter's JV soccer team. And so I say all that to say that the idea that's perpetuated in social media is that there is no such thing as failure. All you ever see are the wins. All you ever see is the perfect makeup. All you ever see is the beautiful vacations and honeymoons and the best parts of the relationship and all of those things. And so I felt like it was very important to make sure my girls understood failure and understood what that means. And on a homestead, a lot of times failure means dead animals. And our kids experience that. And a lot of folks might say, oh man, I don't want my kids to have to see a dead duck, you know, or a dead chicken or whatever. And it's like, or a dead goat. We had a goat that died. And it was, you know, I mean, I'm trying to remember how old. I believe the girls were 8 and 6 when we had the goat that died. And it sucks, right? But it's part of life, and it's part of homesteading, and it's part of the idea that if you're going to be persistent, which again, I think is the primary driver of success, then you have to understand that you're going to have setbacks, and you have to keep pushing through. You have to understand that it's part of the process. And going back to what I said about, in you know, the enjoyment, you have to enjoy the process. You have to... You can't be so focused on the goal that the goal is the only thing that matters. You have to have fun. You have to enjoy what you're doing. If you set a goal and you're marching towards that goal, and you start to understand that you don't enjoy any of the steps, well, then you might not be very fulfilled when you reach the goal, and maybe you need to reevaluate that goal. And so, you know, the persistence is key. The persistence is the best determiner of success. And I will tell you that I have hired people throughout my career that did not have the education or did not have the experience or did not have the, you know, obvious skill set needed to be successful in a job. I mean, heck, I hired a guy to be my primary salesperson for our Atlantic Eastern Seaboard division. And this is a guy that had not been in sales before, had tattoos all over him, had neck tattoos, had, you know, had a couple problems previously in his career. But he showed up every day. He worked hard. He learned. He applied what he learned. He wanted to be better. He wanted to grow. He wanted the opportunity. And he was willing to work 100 hours a week to be successful. And so I hired him, and I put him into that position. and he was very successful. Now, I will say that when he stopped working for me and was placed under a different manager, that manager didn't manage him very well. That manager was kind of a hands-off. My guys know what they need to do, and I'm just going to trust that they're doing it type of manager. And that was not the right type of management style for this particular employee. And this employee ended up self-destructing. And it was a shame because he was very successful, and he was absolutely willing to work his butt off, show up every day, and drive towards a goal. And the reality is he developed some bad habits, and his manager did not check those habits. And of course, that led to his eventual self-destruction, and it, you know, ended up not working for us anymore. And that was a shame, but it didn't change the fact that persistence was the attribute that led directly to his success. And so, again, when we think about it in the terms of homesteading, and I've suffered from this myself, where I have this beautiful vision in mind, and I know what I want my homestead to look like eventually. And then 6 months from now, what I know that I want my homestead to look like eventually changes. And a lot of times it's just a tweak, and a lot of times it's just a small adjustment. And other times I've already done a significant amount of work towards a specific goal and decide that that goal was either not right for me and my family and our homestead where we are, or I just changed my mind and what I wanted to do. There was a time when I wanted my primary protein source on the homestead to be fish. And of course, in order to do that, you have to have water. Well, we've got very rocky, gravelly soil. And while that doesn't specifically preclude me having things like ponds, it means that in order to have ponds, I either need to spend a lot of money on pond liners, or I need to bring in a significant amount of clay. And in either case, I have to bring in heavy, heavy machinery for excavating. I can't go dig a hole with a bobcat on my property. I need to bring in excavators, track hoes, dozers, you know, big machinery. And so after thinking about it for a while, I got to the thought of, well, you know, the eventual goal isn't necessarily fish, it's protein production. And for the amount of work and the amount of money and the amount of terraforming that would be required to have fish be the primary protein source, I could easily pivot to something else. I could easily pivot to goats. I could pivot to sheep. Honestly, right now, we're thinking Dexter cattle. We're thinking our primary protein source is going to be Dexter cattle. We've got about 2.5 acres of good pasture, and I know that I can run about 4 to 5 Dexter cattle on that, and I will probably have to supplement with hay, but that's okay because I can get hay. I can grow my own hay. I can grow tree hay. I have options for doing things like that. And doing the things necessary to grow hay or to source hay locally or to pivot and do things like tree hay, grow fodder trees, requires a significantly less amount of work than putting in ponds all over the property. They also require a significant less amount of work to maintain. So what happens when you have a pond and your spillway fails and takes your dam out? You don't have a pond anymore. Well, the likelihood of that happening with fencing and cross fencing is much lower. And if it does, the repair process is much easier, okay? And so those are the things. And so, you know, what I'm saying there is, as it relates to homesteading, marching towards the goal of protein production included setbacks like tilapia is not going to be the right move. Catfish are not going to be the right move. I wanted to do geese at one point. Geese is probably the only primary American poultry that I have not tried to grow. I've had guineas, I've had chickens, I've had quail, I've had ducks, I've had turkeys. I can't remember if I said that, but you know, I've had all of the primary quail or primary poultry that you would think of. And I've had setbacks throughout all those. And I've had enough setbacks to, I think, understand pretty well where we want to go long-term with poultry production, where we want to go long-term with protein production. And I want my primary protein source to be chicken. It can be one of the protein sources. I think that maybe 25% of my overall protein might end up coming from chickens and ducks. You know, then there's the egg yield and things like that. I talked about recently on the podcast about how I think chickens are absolutely the best homestead animal. They do so much for a homestead, and they're so easy if you just protect them. But the point of that is that even though I've had setbacks along the way, marching towards the goal of producing a significant portion of our own protein on our homestead requires persistence. And we will get to that goal. We will absolutely 100% accomplish that goal, and then we'll set another one, and then we'll start marching towards that goal. And so just to circle back to kind of where I opened, you know, with my daughter heading off to do her thing as a quasi-adult, you know, that's the message for her, and the message for my fellow homesteaders is persistence is key. Keep getting better. Keep showing up every day. Keep learning. Keep applying what you've learned. That's the key to success in whatever it is. Maybe your goal is to get a homestead, to eventually be a homesteader. Well, if you set that goal, you set out the steps required to get there, and then you continuously march towards that goal every day, you enjoy the process, you roll with the setbacks, you understand there's going to be failures, and you keep moving forward, you will eventually end up there. I have zero doubts at all. And you might find, once you get there, that some of the things that you thought were setbacks were pivot points that led you to end up where you wanted to go, probably in better shape than you would have without the setbacks. And so with that, I'll end it for today. Thank you guys for sitting through my persistence rant, I guess. I'll be back to regular homesteading topics tomorrow. And I've gotten several emails this week with some ideas for content. Thank you so much for sending that through. If you guys have ideas for content or questions for me, you can send them to Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at hackmyhomestead.com. Also, feel free to visit the website. I have signed some recent affiliate agreements with a few solar supply companies. If you're interested in getting a trophy battery, which it's a little bit more expensive than the alternative, which right now the primary alternative is the EG4 battery from Signature Solar. It's a little bit more expensive, but its feature set is more than worth the additional expense. And so what I'm saying is that a 48-volt, 100-amp-hour battery from Signature Solar, the baseline server rack model is $1,500. And you can go through the website to find that. But if you want the trophy battery, it's $1,700. Now, what do you get for that extra $200? You get an LCD, so you can view all of the relevant data that you need right on the battery itself. You get higher quality cells. They're rated at 100 amp hours, but they're probably closer to 110. So you get about 10% more capacity. They are Eve cells, which are top of the line, which means that they will probably last longer, not definitely, but probably last longer in the same use case scenario. They have a 200 amp BMS versus the 100 amp BMS in the EG4 battery. And they have a 10-year guarantee, a 10-year warranty, and it's not prorated. That means if in 9 years and 11 months your battery fails, you get a brand new one. And there are a few things about the actual build of the battery that I think are a little bit better. They're not way better, but they are a little bit better than the $200 less option from EG4. I'm not saying the EG4 battery is a bad battery at all. I'm just saying that for the money, $200 more for the trophy battery is a very good option. And so I say all that to mention, if you want a trophy battery, I can get them for slightly less than retail. And so you just need to send me an email if you want to get trophy batteries for your system. If you want to get the Signature Solar or the Current Connected or anything like that, it would be very helpful if you went to the website and went through my affiliate link. I also am an affiliate for Santan Solar, which is a great supplier of used panels. That being said, I do have wholesale relationships with several companies for new and used solar panels. If you are going to buy a solar panel or an inverter or a charge controller or any component of a photovoltaic system, please send me an email first. Let me help you save money. Even if it's, you know, even if it's not a design, I charge $900 to do design for people. And I typically save at least three times that number for the folks that I do designs for. But even if I'm not going to do a full design for you, I will absolutely help you source components. One other thing to mention, I do have a monthly newsletter. The April version will be coming out in a couple of weeks. The March version is on the books. If you want that, it's got information about how to learn about, not how to learn, but information that is educational regarding off-grid solar. It has a list of current components and their target prices, which means if I'm designing a system for someone, this is where I'm targeting pricing. It's got a full breakdown of the actual of an actual system. So every month I will do a different size system. I will break down all the components of that system with pricing, with links to the components in the newsletter, etc., etc. So if you're interested in getting on the newsletter list, again, just send me an email, Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at hackmyhomestead.com. And that's the end of the commercial for today. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time.